We, as the science and technology community and the arm for both the Navy and the Marine Corps, we took a real strong strategic scrub of our objectives and our focus areas last fall, the fall of 2011. We didn't do it in a vacuum. We didn't do it in isolation. We had already been very aware of the new thoughts and the new focus for the DoD strategy. So in many ways, it helped us. In many ways, you'll find that they match up. Not many ways, you'll find that they match up almost entirely with the DoD strategy in the focus areas they've established. We felt very good about that. A number of them are very Navy Marine Corps centric, as you might guess. When you talk about area of denial, assured access in terms of water space, the maritime domain, all around the globe, those are things that just fit our Navy and Marine Corps doctrine and what we owe the nation. And as a result, you might imagine some of our focus areas lined up right with that. Things like assured access in the maritime battle space, things like autonomy and unmanned systems that might, you know, would certainly play in that regime. Things like information dominance and cybersecurity. These again were areas that were focus areas that we could have picked 20, but really when we focused down to 9 major areas, we felt very good that those lined up with the DoD strategy. Another one, for instance, might be power projection and integrated defense, where we might be in other places around the globe. And all of these, in many ways, when we lined up those focus areas and our priorities, it was also important to us that we have a balanced approach. And what I mean by that, Tom and Jason, is that we're charged to do, we'll look at any kind of leap ahead, game changing kind of innovative technologies, and we do look at that. But at the same breath, we need to help sailors and Marines, airmen, soldiers that are out there right now. And what I mean by that is any of their systems they're utilizing now, current systems, can we make them more adaptive? Can we make them more effective? Can we make them more affordable, low cost? And those are also things we line up perfectly with these focus areas that some of them I just described with you.
Now, you mentioned force projection, and of course, that's been kind of the doctrine of the total U.S. military for some time now. But given the size of the Navy ship fleet, which probably is not going to go up very much given the budget realities, it sounds like the Navy itself is investing in force projection pieces like unmanned, for example, and networked warfare that project the Navy itself further.
When we're being forward around the globe and being with our partner nations also, we need to be able to provide those integrated kind of defenses, integrated projection of power if need be, but also in the same token, in the same breath, it could be an integrated effect or operation that may be in a humanitarian or disaster relief kind of scenario, as we did with our Japanese partners last year. That's something we see that adds value not only from a traditional warfighting position, but also some of those things that are very helpful to the nation at large and also our work with our partner nations.
Admiral Klunder, talk a little bit about the information dominance and cybersecurity priority. What type of things are you looking at in there?
Things that we've seen that we added value from a Navy and Marine Corps standpoint in our forward presence maritime domain. If we were able to provide tools, not just assured information and assured networks, that's an obvious, and we're working with others on that also. But I'm now talking about as we take that information, if it's assured and trusted information, really where we think we provide the most value to our leadership, to our units, to everyone that's part of that decision-making process are the tools that provide what we call situational awareness. Again, if I'm able to ascertain quickly what my units have in terms of their capabilities, what other units have in terms of their capabilities, and this is integrated in an assured way with information, now all of a sudden we're able to, again, focus the right priorities, the right resources, and I'm talking about ships or Marines in the right places, and that we found that to be very effective. And we've had some tools that we've policy put out in the fleet even recently in the last year. I'll quote one. It's called Command and Control Rapid Prototyping Capability. I don't want to get mixed up on acronyms, but we even used that with our Japanese partners during Operation Tomodachi to make sure that, again, we were able to get the information flow. Everyone knew what the capabilities were, all the units that were participating at the right, you know, at that time. And we found it to be very effective, and we're using it again in other capacities, counter-piracy, counter-drug, with other partner nations also.
We're speaking with Rear Admiral Matthew Klunder, the new Chief of Naval Research. And what form does the research take? Are you primarily a grant-making agency, or do you have an internal research staff? Or
we have both, and I thank you for asking that question, because it goes back to my very, very roots as a young man when I first joined the Navy and the federal government. We do grants. We do grants with academia, institutions, other labs. We're all about finding the best innovative solution to a problem or a gap that we might have in our capabilities. But on the other hand, I would invite you someday to just look across the Potomac River over there at the Naval Research Lab, which is part of my command also. And we have just unbelievable national treasures over there in terms of people, our human capital, the expertise in science, engineering, and the things we do over there are quite impressive. And again, that's why we work both fronts. To answer your question, we go through other avenues with grants, with academia, institutions, but I also have a very, very strong core lab network that allows us to get right at some problems quickly.
You mentioned the 9 priorities. How different are these than maybe the previous priorities over the last year, 2 years, 3 years? I mean, are they pretty static, or are they dynamic?
They have been somewhat consistent, but on the other hand, we positioned ourselves well in terms of that anti-access area denial that I think you've probably been hearing about in terms of assured access. So when we had talked about it, but on things like assured access in our maritime battle space, that was clearly a focus area that we wanted to put much more strength behind and a lot of our resources. I'll also offer that on the information dominance, we had talked about information before, we had talked about command and control, but we'd never really linked information and cybersecurity into one large focus area. So that was also an area that we readapted. There are others that irregular warfare we've been working on before. There was some in power and energy. There was some in platform design. But when you got to assured access, information dominance, and cybersecurity, unmanned systems, and autonomy, we found that those are areas that we needed to make a little more robust and give a lot more emphasis to.
And how do you make sure that the research going on, either by your own people or under grants, doesn't overlap with research that might be done by the Army or the Air Force?
Well, that's a great question, because I just finished 2 days of extensive senior leadership conversations with my colleagues in those great institutions, and we have vowed and we cross-check regularly to make sure that we are not being duplicative. Now, I offer to you, in science and in engineering, there are times when you want to have different views, so you might get some overlap, but the reality is we're always being collaborative, and we know that in this kind of fiscal environment, you can't have every lab being the lead effort for this kind of focus area. And as you might guess, some of the ones that they've asked us, with my colleagues in the Army, Air Force, DARPA, other labs around the country, they've asked us to take some more of the maritime roles that the Navy and Marine Corps are just part of our core competencies. So it's actually been a very nice fit, and we do, I think, a quite an admirable job in collaborating and not being duplicative with our other labs and other services.